1984 by George Orwell. We're going to use this space to discuss content that hopefully you can use in your essays. That's going to be the focus point for this podcast and the ones that are going to be joining it as we study 1984. So we are going to cover some plot points, but most of the plot we're going to go over will be in class, and the podcast will be a secondary resource to help you along with your essays. So just keep that in mind, that if you're feeling like you're missing out on key events, that we got to go back to our class notes, go back to the documents I've given you, and use this as a resource when it comes to our writing. Major point that needs to be emphasized in 1984 is that this is a society that's in a constant state of war. And war is being used as a weapon to control people and to allow the government to set the tone with this idea that only through war will there be peace. So as if war is going to be used as a tool or as a device, it's being used to govern individuals. And what does that world look like? And in George Orwell's mind, this is what that looks like. Everyone who's ever seen this text or read this text, or might not even read this text, is familiar with the Big Brother is Watching slogan. And that is connected to a society that's in a constant state of war. And if you look at this world in this novel through the scope that this is a time in fictional history where war is at the centerpiece of everything that has been done, and that they're using war as an excuse to make all the decisions in that society, this is what comes from that. This is the result of that. So when they present the concept of war is peace and freedom is slavery and ignorance is strength, it's coming from a place that is rooted in conflict. That a society that is based in war is allowed to govern in a way where the hope of peace is only going to be earned through the concept of war, that freedom, being too free, will ultimately lead to self-slavery, and that being ignorant to a vast variety of ideas, concepts, ultimately will be a strength. Because in this society, in this warlike state, less is more. The less a person knows, the less the person has to think about, the less the person is questioning. What we're not going to use the word happiness, because this book does not have happiness. But that person will be more loyal if there is less questioning, less thought. So as we look at this and as we analyze the society, we need to keep in mind that the constant state of war is what is being used as the vessel or the vehicle for which all other decisions are being made, fabricated or not. And what ultimately we see here is that Winston Smith is completely unable to understand himself, because he only knows what is happening right in front of him. And because of that, he doesn't know whether or not he can trust what he is seeing, feeling, or thinking. Because we have learned in this text already that the past isn't really the past. And the future seems to be very open-ended. And if the past is meaningless, the future at the same time is relatively meaningless. So if we're dealing with a man like Winston Smith as our example, as our main character, who we're going to go through this journey with, if he's the only one who we're going to kind of experience this novel through, we're only getting his present. And if we're dealing with just his present and he can't really understand it, then we're only getting bits and pieces of what could possibly be truth. So our whole entire concept of what Winston is going through is going to be marred by the fact that the society that has been in a constant state of war has completely blurred the lines of what is reality. and he cannot trust his own thoughts. So we see this throughout the text that Winston Smith is unable to understand himself. He has this urge to create, to express himself, but he has no possible way of doing so. And when he does do it, there is guilt immediately felt, because this is a society that is trying to limit the human condition. They want loyalty in both, in all three aspects of mind, body, and spirit, to the point of which the thoughts in someone's head could be considered a crime against the state. So we have the police who are going to govern actions against their physical, the physical actions against one another, against institutions. But the thought crimes that we see in here that are analyzed through the telescreen, that are analyzed and caught through spies, those things are the most damaging. Because what George Orwell does so well here is he's showing that the controlled mind is ultimately what's going to lead to the most broken society. That ignorance being the only result of successful of a successful life in this world is not really living. And by choosing to go along with Big Brother, you're ultimately not just a slave to the machine, but you're no longer human. So this is a novel that is analyzing what it means to be human through this incredibly negative, bleak, dystopian setting. So we have to keep that in mind, that when the government is being portrayed like a god, what we see here at the end result is absolute loyalty being asked in all aspects of human existence. And if the government is working as a god, as a religion, and those who want to go against this deity, then ultimately they're going to be erased and evaporated. And that's what's at stake all the time, and not just evaporated, but also erased from history, which we'll get into when we talk about Winston's job a little bit. So as we look at these first four chapters, chapters 1 through 4, and Orwell does an incredible job establishing the setting and the society and the culture that we find Winston in, we have to understand that this godlike government that Big Brother is watching is rooted in the sense that this is the way to control people. This under the premise that this you'll be more protected this way. That a community that is connected through hate, as we see the 2 minutes of hate, which is an incredibly disturbing concept, as well as Hate Week, we learned about as well in this opening section. But that community that is connected through hate of an enemy, of a faceless enemy. In this case, it has somewhat of a face. It's got a name. The guy has a name. But ultimately, it is selling this otherness that you're supposed to hate because it's not like you. It's the thing that it's outside of your comfort zone. You're supposed to hate it, not be confused by it, not wonder about it, not question it. It's anything that is outside of what the party is presenting, of what Big Brother is presenting, is grounds for hatred. And that's the violence that is the undertone of this, is has to be recognized. That this is a society where human existence has been lowered down to a base level where hate and violence is beyond a normal reaction to things that are not just are different, but things that are going against the expectation of standard of life. So when we think about the thought crimes, and we think about how kids in this section, as explained to us, are being weaponized against their own parents, against adults, as little spies, and that every generation of child that comes through this world will be more committed to the party, and that after generations of this sort of mentality, that they won't have the problems. They won't maybe need to have spies anymore because everyone will be uniformed in their thoughts, their actions, their expectations, and their ideals. And a society that rips everything from an individual and nothing is their own. We see that Winston is a shell of a person. And he's only existing to serve the state. Protected from what? Protected from whom? We're not really sure. But he doesn't even know what to believe. And that's the thing, as readers, we have to remember that what we are seeing through Winston and what we are being explained through the narration is something that is being sold to us as broken. But even Winston has a tough time expressing and establishing what is exactly broken. And we see that as he deals with being unable to express himself, being unable to realize and understand what he is seeing and how he is feeling it. He says he hates Big Brother, but at the same time, he gets all wrapped up in the 2 minutes of hate. His lack of individuality is truly at stake here. And we have to ask ourselves a question here. Does being human mean that we are individualized? And how individualistic can we actually be? Because we are traditionally taught that community is such a good thing. And I think we all would agree with that. But we do have to look at the fact that is part of being in a community is that you're allowed to be an individual within the community, and that the community is important, but the community is not usurping your individuality and potentially becoming just a cog in the machine there. Losing yourself is what we're talking about here as a scaled back level, scaled down level. So if we're looking at humanness and what it means to be human, we have to explore this concept of what does it mean to be an individual? And can a person in this world be an individual even if they're being loyal to the state? There's mentions of the purge, of mandatory fitness, of memories that Winston has that seem like PTSD, where we're not even sure if they're real. But this idea that there are no records, where the enemy of the moment is connected with this idea that whoever controls the past will control the future. It's all tied in with each other. We're looking at a propaganda machine that understands and knows that if it can put forth enough hatred, enough fear, that people will choose the easiest road, and the easiest road is to conform. And if you have the force behind your rules to enforce them in a way that people will be punished for going against it and making it an example of these individuals, then you're putting people in a situation where it's very difficult to go against Big Brother. And this idea that reality is being controlled needs to be discussed. Winston has a hard time understanding what is real and what is fake, what he remembers. His entire job is designed, as we talked about in class, is designed to rewrite history. And he's part of a complete industry. If you look at the four ministries and what they do, all four of them are designed to make sure that people see the government as perfect. The erasing of people after they are gone, the rewriting of facts and history, even the small facts from the daily paper, and that there's industries being based on this. The role of double think, as we talked about earlier with our slogans, what does that mean if a society is based on double think? What does that mean when we're already talking at times in this class about fake news and fake information? What do we actually mean when we talk about that? How are we influenced in this text or by this text as we look at that and apply a term that's been very present over the last few years? But if there are no facts in this novel, if there are no facts, then there are no truths. And that's the world that Winston lives in. So if the government cannot be wrong, if the people have to be completely loyal, if history is being rewritten, and we see that later on when editing a document, Winston creates a war hero, someone who never existed in the past but is going to exist in the present, just shows at the depth of all of this that protecting the party line is more important than anything occurring outside of it or to it. It's protecting it, and protecting it at all costs, because in return, it's supposed to be providing a life for you. But that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing the lives of these characters being smashed. Their human nature, their humanness is being completely devalued. And we cannot call the life that Winston is living as a pure human existence. So the idea of perfection is another thing we have to look at. If we have to understand that the government has to be perfect, if the government is a god, then with all the lies that are being put forth, then ultimately the reality that Winston's living is just marred by these falsehoods. And the best thing that could happen to him would be being vaporized or disappeared. We have to understand this is the character, the bleak character we're meeting. And we can only anticipate that if he's a hero, it might not mean that he's going to get out of this novel alive. But what does it mean for him to be our focal point? And what are we experiencing as we read the text? A couple other things we want to touch base on is, who is really Big Brother? Is it a group? There's only one political party, as we talked about in class. There's no opposition party. It is what happens when there's a complete imbalance of power in society driven by a war. We touched on that. But if that's the case, is Big Brother just the manifestation of one party using a figurehead to sell a message, the role of propaganda presenting to the reader and the people within this novel that this style of life isn't necessarily the right way, but it's the only way? And we have to remember that. So as we look at these sections, as we go through and try to really understand what 1984 is about and what it's asking us as readers to participate in, and while there are some complicated plot terms and things that we had to kind of get used to, we have to ultimately ask ourselves is, what are we thinking about when it comes to the human experience? How do we define the human experience? And does this novel make us question what it means to be human? Does it strengthen our definition of humanness? What does it mean to be governed? And that concept of, if government is God, if government is something that is not just a platform for people to be living in a society, in a culture. Because we remember, we're not seeing culture here. They talk about books and entertainment. But we're not seeing, as we learned about where Winston lived in the home and the setting outside of his house, right? It doesn't seem like there's a lot of life or a lot of living going on. There's a lot of working going on. There's a lot of fear. And ultimately what we're seeing here is a society where there is very little art. And if there is art, there is music, that there is movies, that there are books. Ultimately what we're seeing here is that is all created by the state for the state. So the isolation, the mental and physical isolation that these characters are going through is at the heart of this dystopian experience. So as we move on from this section, I want us to really analyze the human experience we're looking at and the role of government like a god, the lack of balance, and how the controlling of the mind is at the root of what Big Brother is doing. And if that is how they're approaching the control of people, to what extreme are they willing to go to maintain power? We'll keep picking this up next week. I think we have a lot to talk about. We're going to continue to cover the plot in class, but I do want us to continue to look at the big ideas during this podcast to help with our essays.